monthly member outreach call for the Order of Malta American Association. My name is Chris Rutkowski. I am a member of the Board of Counselors with the happy task of hosting this call, and in particular today, introducing our speaker, who has got just a wonderful topic for this time of year, the topic being, why is Easter considered the most important feast in the liturgical year? Our speaker this morning is Father Owen Moran. Father Owen was ordained a priest by Bishop Rotimer December 14th, 1991, for the Paterson Diocese of New Jersey. There's so much I can talk about Father Owen and his resume. Let me just say that he has served as parochial vicar at St. Patrick's in Chatham for 11 years, celebrating Mass, of course, weddings, funerals, working with the Director of Religious Education in Religious Ed, youth minister in confirmation, and principal in the parochial school, which I'm sure could be a lot of stories in and of itself. Father Owen is trained in hospice, worked with sick and dying, trained in bereavement, and has worked with the bereaved. Also trained in prison ministry and worked many years in the Morristown prison as chaplain. On March 2003, he was appointed pastor of St. Rose of Lima, took on a very challenging assignment as the parish was bankrupt and ministries were in need of being revamped, worked diligently in his beloved parish. And as he says, through the grace of God, I was able to pay off the debts, renovate the church and the buildings, and build a fiscally strong parish. A specially active RCIA program, last year they brought 16 new members into the Catholic Christian community. And they have an active outreach program for the sick and the dying, as well as an active bereavement group. Going back about 10 years ago, Father Ed Hines was tragically murdered at St. Patrick's in Chatham. And for a short period of time, actually 5 months, Father Owen was both the temporary administrator of St. Patrick's as well as the pastor of St. Rose of Lima. Father Owen did want us to say that he is very grateful to the Lord for his 27 years of priesthood serving the Paterson Diocese of Northern New Jersey. He's begun his 17th year as pastor of St. Rose, and he's grateful to God for the privilege of being a priest and sharing his love of Christ with others. And Father Owen, we are very grateful to have you here this morning to talk to us about why Easter is considered the most important feast in the liturgical year. With that, I'll turn it over to Father Owen.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. I'm very happy to spend this time with all of you as we move on in this Lenten season into the celebrations of Easter. As I stand at the sanctuary of my church, I look to a beautiful crucifix, but my eyes go from the crucifix to the tabernacle, where I see Jesus, our living Savior, Jesus to feed us, heal us, and give us strength. So during this topic, why is Easter considered the most important feast of the liturgical year? I'll first of all say, with regard to commercialism, Christmas, of course, seems number one. Christmas indeed is number two. Jesus Christ was born on Christmas, and we revere his birth and the miracle of his birth. However, as Christians, as Catholic Christians in particular, we are not people of crucifixion. Rather, we are people of resurrection. And so each Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, but particularly on Easter Sunday we celebrate Jesus rising as he said he would. Alleluia, alleluia. However, this season of Lent is a time where we mortify ourselves, where we spend time in prayer and reflection, striving to build our relationship with God and with humankind in a better way. The Triduum, the days of Holy Thursday, Good Friday and Holy Saturday, are these glorious days that lead us into the celebration of the resurrected Jesus. On Holy Thursday, we celebrate the washing of the feet at the Mass of the Lord's Supper. 12 disciples of a parish are chosen. 12 disciples represent the apostles whose feet were washed by Jesus as the remembering of service and humility. During that Mass, we also remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist, Jesus Christ, giving us his precious body and blood. We certainly know that as Catholics, it would be impossible to live good holy lives without frequent Holy Communion. And on this Holy Thursday night, we celebrate this great gift that Jesus gave to us. Our Holy Thursday Mass begins with great joy and ends as the Blessed Sacrament is brought out of the physical building, the church, and then the church is stripped of cloth and candles and flowers, decorations, and we begin a period of mourning. Good Friday, mourning. The church is empty except for silent prayer. The flowers are gone. The tabernacle is open. We feel somewhat desolate. At 3 p.m., we celebrate the veneration of the cross, the proclamation of the Passion, the receiving of Holy Communion. After the proclamation of the Holy Gospel and a short homily, the faithful come forward and venerate the cross. In so many ways, my friends, it's like a wake. Each one comes, touches the cross, kisses the cross, honors the cross, honors Jesus who died for us. Then the next part, we receive Holy Communion, consecrated the previous day. We leave in silence. Good Friday night, we all celebrate the stations of the cross with profound hope and love. On Holy Saturday, we celebrate the night of all nights, the vigil mass of Easter, the lighting of the paschal fire. The pastor, with the assistant priest or priests, deacons, and the community gather outside the church as this paschal fire is lit, the new light of Christ. The new candle is carried in by a deacon. Alleluia, alleluia, the light of Christ. The church, which is semi-darkened, is illumined by little tapers, which are taken from the big paschal candle. The church, once in darkness, is now illumined by this light reflective of Christ, our light. The Mass continues. In this joyful night, many are baptized. Non-Catholic Christians are received into the church, and adults are confirmed. This joyful night in this liturgy, lights are turned on, bells are rung, alleluias are sung, and we remember as Catholic Christians that it is by Christ dying and rising from the dead that we are given the gift of new life. This new life given to us by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago is lived and celebrated in every parish church in the Roman Catholic world, in hope, and the hope that all will know God and all will live our Catholic faith with joy and with a sense of profound charity. My dear friends, as we prepare in these days for Holy Week and for the Vigil, we call to mind Easter Sunday morning. We call to mind Jesus Christ about to rise from the tomb as he said he will and would. We call to mind Mary and the disciples standing in a very forlorn way in the locked room, not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do, hopeless, hopeless. And we see that Mary of Magdala left that room to cry. To do what many of us do when a loved one has died, to cry and scream, "Why, Lord, why?" She went to cry and was amazed when the tomb was opened, and then she was filled with anxiety, wondering what happened. Did the Romans take his body? Did they not even respect a dead body? And suddenly she saw the burial cloth thrown to the ground. The living do not need burial cloth. All of a sudden, she hears her name, Mary. She recognizes his beloved voice. She begins to talk. He says to her, "Mary, do not cling to me. Go and tell the others." Immediately she ran to tell the others. Peter and John ran quickly to the tomb. John, in deference to Peter, stood back. As they both went in, they saw, they believed, they glorified Jesus, they understood. My dear friends, Easter is a living miracle. It's not something in history that we remember. It's something in our faith that we live every Sunday, but most particularly every Easter. We relive the joy and the amazement that Jesus died for us and for all. Blessed are we, my friends, as we celebrate this Easter. We thank God for those who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith. We ask faith and strength and hope for those for whom we have responsibility, that they will follow us. We ask for strength, that we will be example givers. We who are in the Order of Malta are given special responsibilities. We're blessed, we're privileged, and we're gifted. And we know that God, who gives much to many, expects much in return. We do. We give back. We give back with joy. We give back with love. We give back as people of resurrection. I wish each and every one of you, members of our beloved order, a joyful Easter season. Feel the grace of Jesus Christ. Celebrate his love. Feel his blessings. God bless you. Thank you for taking this time to listen to me. Please be assured of my prayers as I pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Father Owen. Thank you for the blessing and certainly the reminder that we are a resurrection people.
Thank you, Chris. Timely. How was my time? I kind of lost track a little bit. So.
No. Your time was absolutely perfect. Absolutely.
Great.
I'd like to remind the group that these talks, of course, are recorded. And if you have friends or family who were unable to make the talk live and missed the pleasure of hearing Father Owen in real time, you'll have that pleasure once again if you go on the website and tap on the link related to these calls. We do have another call scheduled. The next call is actually May 1, and that will tackle a pretty intriguing topic being presented by Father David Caron. And the topic being, why are some prayers answered in Lourdes while others seem to be ignored? I'm sure that will be thought-provoking, just as Father Owen's talk was. So, again, appreciate all you joining us. Appreciate especially Father Owen for sharing his thoughts with us. Wish you a blessed day and a continuation of the blessings of this Easter season. Goodbye.
Thank you, Chris. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Father Owen. It's great to hear your voice
pleasure.
Once more.
Absolutely. I hope to get to see you soon.
It would be wonderful. It would be just great. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Bye.